This is Authors Alcove, where writers learn from writers. Readers get the inside scoop, and everyone learns something. An episode comes out every Wednesday where writers share their latest work, every other Tuesday where us writers get taught by such experts as editors, book cover artists, and marketing execs, and beyond. So grab a cup of coffee, and let's dive into our next book. Welcome to Authors Alcove. I am your host, Agnes Wolf. Today, I have award-winning writer, Glenn Gable. He is a screenwriter and novelist who recently published his debut young adult fantasy novel, The Soothsayer. It won third at BookFest for Christian Fantasy and earned Top Pick Author Shout Reader Ready Award. He graduated from the University of Southern California, worked as a production assistant under Joss Whedon at Mutant Enemy Fox, and later worked as a professional copy editor. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the differences between being a screenwriter and a novelist, as well as some world building when pulling inspiration from such things as the Bible and Gaelic folklore. Thank you so much for joining me today, Glenn.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Could you just share a little bit about yourself and what has brought you into this writing world?
Yeah, sure. Like I think a lot of authors, I really was into storytelling from a young age. And when I realized I really didn't do anything well except to tell stories, kind of just became the thing that I did. So I went to film school at USC, really working on creative writing and screenwriting. And later, you know, kind of migrated over to short stories much later, short stories, and then jumped into writing my first novel. So it's been a long journey, but I'm always learning, and I love the craft. So
you were actually a screenwriter before you were a novelist, is that correct?
Still am. Yep.
You still are. Okay. Yeah. So, and actually you had written on the application that you see yourself more as a screenwriter than a novelist. How is writing a novel different than writing a screenplay?
Gosh. Obviously there's a lot of different ways to write a novel. And I think people that tend to write literature, which I wouldn't call my stuff literature, but I tend to think about the phrasings of words and that kind of thing. And whereas I tend to sort of want to just jump right into the action and I think about pacing quite a bit, I always try to end my short stories, or in the case of my novel, with cliffhangers. I mean, just one right after the other, beat, 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 beat. And that's something that when you're writing a screenplay, you really want to jump into the scene as late as possible and then jump out as early as possible. And so I think, I don't know if it's a good technique or not, but in my novel writing, I kind of tried to do a similar thing, as I wanted to keep the reader hooked for as long as possible. And so I tried to end, you know, every chapter with that beat, with that hook, with that cliffhanger, so that I would keep them enwrapped in the story.
That's actually a really good technique, because two of my favorite editors that I have on here, I've had them on here a couple times. That is one of the things that they say, is that you want to arrive at the scene as late as possible and leave as early as possible. Mm. And so I think you're definitely doing the right thing. So let's talk a little bit about your book, The Soothsayer. Could you share just a little bit about the plot without giving any spoilers?
Sure. So the story is about a teenage boy who is bullied and his mom is dying from cancer. And one night, some supernatural beings show up and attack her. And in order to save her, he has to follow them back into their world. And that's really just the very beginning of the story.
What are some of the major themes in the book?
I think it's speaking truth to power and the courage to find your faith and pick up your faith, even when you have insurmountable odds against you, you know, finding meaning and kind of the idea that no matter what the world tells you you are, that there's actually a lot more to you than you might believe. So.
And you use a lot of metaphors, names, and concepts from both the Bible and Gaelic folklore. Why did you choose to include these in your story?
as a person of faith, I constantly go back to what I think is the best book ever written, the Bible. And I was interested in especially the Old Testament. When you look through the book of Kings and Second Kings and stuff, there's a lot of Game of Thrones in there. You know, it's pretty epic. There's betrayals and murders and affairs and supernatural elements left and right. And I thought, gosh, this would make an interesting story. But in a lot of those stories that you'll see in the Bible and, you know, have a, maybe some kind of a version in my book, they're kind of fundamental to how we look at good versus evil, you know, and how we look at a hero's journey. We have throughout the Old Testament, we have these characters that are usually pretty humble in their beginnings and are put through hell, absolute hell, and somehow have to find the strength to persevere and to overcome. So to me, a lot of those stories in the Old Testament are really quite interesting. The Gaelic folklore, as I'm half Irish, so to me that whole background and those myths, you know, are kind of cool, and they sort of tie in a little bit here and there. So I use them where I can. King's sword, Triachtarioch, is an old Gaelic word, you know, that has to do with ancestry. And some of my side characters, Balaam, the talking ass, is actually a talking donkey in the story. So pulled from the Old Testament. So there's elements there, and I try to kind of weave them in without being too over the top.
The book that I'm actually working on right now, I think it might be considered a young adult Christian fantasy as well, because it does pull from the Bible quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And also a lot of different folklores, including Gaelic. But anyway, so what are some examples that you pulled from for Gaelic folklore?
Oh, gosh, we've got, you know, supernatural monsters, this idea of a hero going single-handedly, like Beowulf, going in to slay monsters. But, you know, the Beowulf-esque character, Egan, in the story, who's kind of a main side character, goes in with those same heroic intentions and finds that war is hell, and the expectations on him are weighing him down, and that he really has to rely on people that he thinks are somewhat weaker, like Colin, the main character from our world, in order to overcome, to help overcome those things. So it's kind of like taking some of maybe the visuals and the ideas from that, but then kind of throwing a little bit of a twist, you know, into it.
So you also used the Bible as some of your inspiration. Would you consider it a Christian novel, or is it just using Christian aspects?
I don't know. You know, I've had people say, well, it's much too secular to be Christian. And I've had secularists say, well, it's much too faith-based secular. So I would say whatever you come into it, it's a story first. And it's hopefully a story that connects with you no matter where you are or no matter what you believe, that there's some kind of truth in there that you can connect to and enjoy the story as a whole.
I would say the same about mine, is that I feel like it's too secular to be a Christian, but I am afraid that it might be too faith-based for a secular audience. So I think that we're kind of in the same spot. So What are some of the historical figures and real locations that are mirrored from our world to the one that you created?
The book actually starts out in Dana Point, California, which was kind of my old stomping ground. And I mention there's some historical figures, Henry Dana, who is, you know, Dana Point was named after him. And he actually has an interesting part to play in the story. The cave that Colin discovers that takes him to the other world is actually a real cave. And if the readers so choose, if they go and read those early chapters, they may in fact find that cave. So it's a real place though.
And as far as your characters, what are some of the things that your characters experience in the way that they grow throughout your book?
I think a lot of the main characters are orphans in some way, whether their parents are not around or have abandoned them or have died. So they all in one way or the other, and I don't know if I did it on purpose, but looking back at it now, I'm like, huh, you ever do that where you write something and then you realize, oh crap, I didn't realize I did that. But all I would say pretty much all the main characters, one way or another, is an orphan and has to kind of find their own way in a world that's quite dark and foreboding. So I think that would be one of them.
So why do you think you were drawn to writing that particular character arc of orphanage, orphan, I mean?
I think that, as we age, we kind of look back and we kind of get, it's possible to get a little resentful about, well, why wasn't my childhood this? And why did things turn out that way? And why did my parents let me down in this way and whatever? And so I think everyone sort of feels a little bit, I don't know, maybe outside the family unit at times in their lives. And whether or not your parents are still around, but there's definitely a lot of doors in life you have to go through alone. These people coming together, who are all ostensibly orphans in some way, really learn to draw on each other and their faith to get through those dark doorways.
So kind of a found family rather than a born family.
Yeah, you might say that.
Do you plan on writing, continuing to write with the same characters with another book, or is this going to be a standalone book?
Yeah, no, there's a sequel. There's a sequel, and it's about, gosh, 60 or 70 pages in. It's going to be longer. I worked on the soothsayer for about 7 years from idea to what it is today. And I thought, okay, I need to take a little bit of a break. So I'm kind of doing a different project right now. It's something different from the soothsayer universe, but I am planning to go back and work on the sequel, but it's a big world. So it takes a lot out of me to try and somehow make it coherent and work together,
With your new project, is it going to be based a little bit in the world that you're created, or is it going to be more of a realistic novel?
Well, it's a supernatural crime thriller. So yeah, it's different. It's very different where the soothsayer is intentionally written for young adults, the 15 plus. This next one squarely in the adult camp. And I would say it's something of a cross between Watchers and Jaws. So
Oh.
it's very different. And also it's one of those stories. I mean, I'm sure as a writer, you have these things living in your head, for months or years at a time. And Stephen King once said that if the idea doesn't die quickly, if it just sort of takes up residence there, eventually you have to give birth to it just so you can free up some real estate, And this new story I'm working on, it's been in my head for like a decade in one form or another. So I, to me, it was like, okay, the soothsayer's done, and I'm definitely going to go back to that world. But this new thing, totally separate. I have no idea how it'll be received, but it's one of those things, I guess, as a writer, you sort of write for yourself first, and then you just hope and pray that other people like it too.
I wanted to ask a couple questions about the awards that you had received. When you were they ones that you submitted to be looked at, or was it ones that you were just recognized as being part of a particular community?
Submitted, yeah. The Book Fest Award. Well, you can submit to a lot of awards, and part of my journey this last year has been learning a little bit about marketing your book and getting it out there. And of course, I think self-promotion, it's tough for me. I don't know about you, but I hate promoting stuff. I'd rather be in a room, dark, writing, left alone like a crazy old hermit. But promoting's part of it. So I submitted it to a few different awards with just random hope that it might get an honorable mention. I was really honored to be selected one of the winners for the Book Fest. And then more recently, I was given a top pick for 2024 at the Reader Ready Awards, which also huge honor, very unexpected. I'm ecstatic about it. But yeah, so it's something that I would suggest any author out there who's kind of like, oh my gosh, how do I promote this thing? I kind of just did the spaghetti on the wall thing where I, you know, submitted it to awards and started doing social media and my YouTube channel and just about anything I could think of to kind of just get the word out there a little bit about it.
So which things stuck to the wall?
I would say Advanced Reader Services, ARC copies, and finding a good ARC service is excellent. I mean, I everyone says you need like that 10 to 15 to 20, you know, reviews on Amazon to really help boost sales. And challenging if you can, but if you can get ARCs out there and get some good reviews early, that would probably be the best thing I did as far as time. I did a blog tour, book tour with Espresso Book Tours, and got, you know, some nice coverage of the book this last year. That was cool. I don't know how much of it translates. I don't know if the ROI is exactly equates to the cost, but it's something that you learn, and I'm slowly picking that up. So that and submitting it for awards, and yeah, you just that also I think is a nice cherry on top.
So where did you go to find your ARC services? And explain what an ARC service is, just in case somebody doesn't know what it is.
Yeah, ARC stands for Advanced Reader Copy. So the idea is that, at least from what I've been learning, is that you can write the most amazing novel in the world, and you can get the most beautiful cover made, and you can get a top editor to edit it, and it can just be light coming down from the sky. Oh, and you put it up on Amazon, and it's crickets. And I think that a lot of authors struggle with this, because it's like, you know, they put years into their books and really polish it and get it out there. And then it's just like, oh, reality hits. You're competing with 10 billion other people who write in the same genre. So yeah, Advanced Reader Copies, basically you find something like Voracious Readers, I was very happy with. There's also Book Sirens and gosh, Book Gems, I think. There's a whole slew of them, really, out there. And basically, you pay some kind of a monthly fee, and you put out your ebook to them, and they distribute it among their thousands of readers, you know. And the idea is that the people that sign up will ostensibly leave a review on Amazon, you know, after they read it. That's what you're hoping for. Now, of course, there's a lot of times where people will just snag a copy and you never hear from them again. I once heard that if you're worried about giving out free copies, you're thinking too small. You really, you know, your audience is the world. So if you give out 100 free copies or whatever, it's like, really? I mean, come on. So you miss out on a couple of bucks, but you know, and in the overall, it's going to create buzz, and that's kind of what you're hoping for. I think that's, as far as I understand it, still a student of the process.
So what authors or books or series or even screenwriters that you may admire that you have found inspiration for your own writing?
Oh gosh. Well, I mean, everyone says Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, and of course they're excellent. I think that's probably would be the first two that I think of, but I really enjoy Stephen King's work. Gosh, I like jumping into new stuff all the time. I read a great book by an author named Mary Runyon about the plantations during the Civil War era. And she took this whole story about the slaves and their lives. And it's not normally a kind of book I would read, but I was blown away by it. It was really good. And yeah, I'm trying to think what else. Meg Ashley, excellent author. She's written a number of young adult stories, but also fantasy. Madeline L'Engle. Gosh, trying to think. But I also like Michael Crichton. And I have been getting more recently into reading some Jack Carr, you know, The Terminal List and those kind of things too are kind of fun. So
my husband likes Michael Crichton. I think his all-time favorite though is Lee Child. I don't know if you read him, but he likes Michael Crichton too. Anyway, yeah. Thank you so much for being on here. But I do have one more question before you go. And it's the question I ask everybody. What is one piece of advice you would give to a not yet published author?
Don't give up. I would say that, and I'm sure again that that's something that a lot of people say, but you know, consistency and, you know, pushing forward even when nobody believes in your story but you is the most important thing. And what separates people who dream of writing a book to those that actually do it. So stick with it.
Thank you again. Thank you so much for joining me and taking time out of your schedule. So I truly appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. I also would like to thank my listeners. If you want to purchase his books, there is links in the show notes and a link to his author page where you can find some of his short stories. If you enjoyed this episode about writing fantasy, you may enjoy my episode with Shel Cyprys, author of Unmasking the Curse. Again, this was Glenn Gable. His book is The Soothsayer, and you can find the link in the show notes. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Authors Alcove. We will be back next week on Wednesday, where we will have a writer share yet another piece of work. Also, every other Tuesday, we do learn from experts such as editors, marketing execs, book cover artists, illustrators, and more. If you are interested in being a guest on our show, feel free to go to authorsalcove.com, go to the podcast tab, and then click on Be a Guest. If you're looking for a healed heart, hop on over to our sister podcast, Strength, Love, and Healing with Authors Alcove. You can find that on Spotify and the Apple Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a great day.